Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar, dollar bill, yo.
This is Over Under 98.5. With Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz, here are the Bankroll Boys. Who you got?
And we are live here on Over Under 98.5 Podcast. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshatz. We're going to tweet it all out, get everybody going, at Joey Murr on Twitter, at Dan Lifshatz. We are on Periscope, which is on Twitter. And we are also on YouTube, Dan. We use the Joey Murr channel because it's the only one that we have at the moment. So maybe at some point we should make a Bankroll Boys channel.
Okay.
But Bankroll Boys at the end with a dollar sign.
Okay, whatever you want, I'll make it.
I don't like the okay. Z at the end. I'm not into that. So
I can understand. I'm not a big fan of the dollar signs, the Z's, the S's, whatever. You know what I mean?
Dan needs a new microphone. Under 43 and a half tonight.
Why do I need a new microphone? My mic? You don't like my mic?
I have no problem with your mic at all. I think your mic is just...
I just don't have a stand because I'm now working downstairs while the whole COVID thing is going on. So my workstation's moved from upstairs to downstairs. So I no longer have my mic stand. Yeah, I'm not putting a mic stand down here. Not baked at all, actually. It sucks.
I put mine on top of a Black & Decker iron. So what I do is I have my stand, but I put it on the box. Anyways, he's Dan Lifshatz at Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray at Joey Murray.
I forgot to get the bell. Hold on. I got the bell.
All right. So there's the fat guy view, and then there's the non-fat guy view. So what do you guys like? How baked is Dan? I don't know if Dan smokes weed.
I do actually. Yeah, no, I do.
Oh, okay. Are you high right now?
No, I'm not at all.
Okay, so yeah. See, I'm not either. I haven't been high in over a year, and I miss it every day. Dan, we may have done some shows in the past where I may have been.
Yeah. That's part of it.
Sometimes that helps.
Look at this fucking. Look at this
ring the shit out of that thing. Ring it.
Oh, okay. Cowbell.
I fucking hate cowbell.
I do too. But for right now, until you bring back the guitar or we get something else going, this is the PP bell. This is it.
All right, so, I have a couple of things. Let's get a few of these out of the way. Sick shirt, Joe. Yes, AEW. It's a triple X. I squeezed into it. Winners are spoken into that mic, Dan. Hell of a bell. The boys, the bell. Still in the hot as hell basement, Joe. It's very nice today, actually. You would think about it. More cowbell. FGV. You guys are awesome. Warm the volcano. 6-point teaser. Someone's already throwing out 6-point teasers, Dan.
No.
Out. I'm absolutely baked. Good for you. There's no other way to listen to the show. I'm here for the bread. Bring back the guitar. Yes. No.
I'm in on the guitar. In on that.
Listen, if we go on a bad stretch, like 3 weeks in a row of like 40% or something, I'll bring back the guitar. I don't have one in the house right now. I should. I actually should. Don't know why I don't. More cowbell. Oh my God, Dan, legit Rays fan. You got to be a stoner to come up with the McMurray special. I wonder if Lifshatz has like his own little.
I don't, man. I actually don't. I was thinking about the other day, and I was like, "Fuck, I don't have like my own thing." Like, I have the Lifshatz run. Okay, so like the Lifshatz run is like you go get like if you're you know when I grew up in Wayland, so it was like Natick. I used to get the tenders and shit from KFC, the fries from McDonald's, and then the spicy chickens from Burger King. So I used to hit it right in a row, right down the order. Yeah.
That's classic. That's the double dip of the triple dip. Dan, I live off of Route 1, is North Shore.
Oh, I know.
So like, dude, I have the choice of 95 or Route 1. I hop on Route 1. I did this morning on our way into the show today.
I got a
Starbucks coffee. And then I stopped at Dunk's for a cinnamon raisin bagel toasted with cream cheese.
Nice.
I usually go with a blueberry muffin, but today I was like, you know, why don't we go with a little bagel action?
Like it.
So that's how I started. Mississippi State has made, yes. Oh, God. Every time Kellen Mond gets a first down.
Can you hate Mississippi State now that Mike Leach is back? Leach is there. I mean,
good point.
Like, are you able to hate Mississippi State because – now I think you have to like fucking like Mississippi State, right?
They're getting a lot of love in the SEC. I think the SEC starts next weekend.
Yes, so we probably need to do an SEC preview pod.
I already got a pick, and if anyone listened to my players card yesterday, I gave out a pick on one side, and then the other side, obviously, and then they'll play in the SEC championship. The PP Bell—that's exactly what it is. People want to know what PP stands for.
Podcast
is a podcast play. The Bengals under, we will discuss that. It's funny how everyone's saying the under, Dan, huh? Based off our conversation this morning.
What did I tell you?
We'll get into it shortly. The PP Bell hits different. Was near Saugus over the weekend, but for the dispensary, yes. Give me all the plays, we will. In order to hit two paydays last week. The Tiki sing-alongs, yes. Howdy from Colorado. They got some good green out there. Out on the guitar right now. We're out on the guitar. Hit two parlays last week.
We need to be out on the guitar because that means we're not doing well.
That's right. Let's see. Must-win Celtics tonight. We'll get into that. What does the pick for Korean soccer? Whose pick was it? It was Dan's. Toddsville, Joe, I think Marshall Hook ran for something there. That's correct. Dan laying the fast food parlay for the win. That's like a three team teaser. Fuck the parlay, dude.
That's more of a tease than a parlay.
Never hear the player's card due to work.
Might be a round robin, actually.
The player's card is every day at 7:30 on Touch and Rich. You're gonna have to listen, man. It's the only way you can hear it. They pay us the big bucks to do it. Strictly dabs, dude. Dabs, fuck you up. Don't do it. Unless you're Elliot. Does Mayfield show up tonight? And Joe, love the All Elite. So, all right, enough of the grab ass. That was 7 minutes of good grab ass.
Legit grab ass, yeah.
All right, so last week, Dan.
Enough pleasantries.
I just want to be honest. Last week, I haven't been performing well. To be honest with you, I'm in a pick'em league where I pick every NFL game for the week, right, against the spread. I won 11 games. But I gave out the over in the Pats. I forget what else I gave out. It lost. I had the Bears. Reluctantly, they fucking came back and won. Like, luckily, okay? And I had the Bucks, and they lost. That's fine. It was more of a fade towards the Saints than anything. It wasn't like a Brady thing or whatever.
Yeah.
I got to be better. My college picks, I laid chalk. I lost. I lost Clemson, dude. Clemson knew the spread, right? They knew the spread, and they fucking tanked it. They played three quarterbacks, and one of them threw a pick. And then I had Notre Dame, and I failed to say that the transfer from Clemson, Bryce, played well. So I missed Clemson by a touchdown, and then missed Notre Dame by a touchdown. So that's on me. I have to be better than that. And I'm going to bounce back this week. So I also do think, and you know, hey, we made the picks, Dan, and we got to move on from there. But I think it's not easy to predict on Thursdays. We do this every year when we like something, we give a PP. I think we've been forcing it a little bit because we want people to listen and whatever. And I'm not trying to make excuses for ourselves or anything like that. It's just hard with COVID times and who's going to play. And it's just hard to predict games on a Thursday night.
Yeah, so I mean, especially in college football, Joe, with everything that's going on. I mean, we saw last week Georgia Southern lose 33 fucking players before the start of the game. Like, you know, there's no information on that. I told you guys, if you listen to the Saturday show about the Arkansas State stuff, 18 players were out. Well, guess what? We didn't know that 20 players were out for Kansas State. So, you know, the information only gets you so far. And while I did tell you, you know, we were right about Texas State. The quarterback was out there, Brady McBride, and Texas State lost outright to UTSA as a 7-point favorite. They ended up closing about 4 or 5. What I think is going to be super important for people this year is I think you need to preach patience. So if I give out a play on Thursday, you know, I'm going to leave it up to you guys. You know, do you guys want to play it on Thursday? Do you guys want to wait to Saturday? Like there's going to have to be some real patience here. And normally, if you're asking me, right, I would tell you don't bet it until Saturday or Sunday because there's so much that can change. Now, in the past, I'd bet it and forget it and wouldn't worry about it. But right now, it's tough. I mean, the Georgia Southern is a perfect example. I think the Arkansas State's a good example. Information right now during right now is going to win the time. But at the same time, there's going to be so much information that doesn't come out too. Obviously, as Tony just kind of put out there, the UNC Charlotte game was canceled this week. It sounds like Chris Reynolds has either injured or COVID. I can't remember what he has. And, you know, Charlotte's quarantined, so that game's done. There are rumors about another game, you know. So I think we're going to have to wait till the day of, really, to place these bets. But nonetheless, we're going to give out plays. We're going to give out PPs here. And, you know, I just kind of want to give you guys a heads up that it's going to happen. And in this year especially, there's going to be more buyouts. You know, in the past, I think I bought out one play before.
Yeah, and I think it's fair to say, Dan, like, we get pretty good analysis on the games. Like, yeah, we're the gambling guys and we give picks. And not all our picks win. We were the first guys to tell you that. I haven't been good. I need to get better. I finally broke the ice on a posted play. Just so you guys know, when I post a play, something dramatically crazy goes wrong. Like, this isn't like I post a play and I lose. I mean, it's like a, wow, did you see that catch in the end zone that was called, you know, anytime I've been posting a play lately, there's been like a monumental fuck. like where people are like, man, Joe's the right side, dude. I'm like, no, I lost, man. I lost, dude. Like, there have just been some monumental, like, bad ones of late. The UAB game in particular, you know, I thought the over was going to hit last Thursday night, Dan. They're fucking 21 points, and all of a sudden, where'd everybody go? Everybody just all disappeared. That's a loss. That's an L on me. I'll take it. I'm going to be better. And I'm only mentioning the COVID shit because I'm just going to go back to that Navy game, man. That we were both on that Navy side. We had no clue. And maybe I wish I did better. I didn't know until the broadcast. I read tons of shit about that game. I knew UAB was going to be good. But I knew BYU was going to be good, but I didn't know that, like, facing a fucking that type of team, you know, with the option, I didn't know they didn't even practice tackling at all. They haven't practiced tackling. Like, I didn't know that. So we're going to get hot, Dan. It's going to happen. I think it was a bad week, but it's week one, right? Hey, the Bankwell boys have sucked lately. Yep. I think we lost maybe 7 or 8, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 units. I don't know what we were last week together, but whatever. I'm back in the fucking tank. I'm back up on the horse, and I'm ready to go for a new week.
I can tell you what it is. If you guys want, again, we put all the records on the Action Network tracker. If I miss a play, please DM me. Just, you know, I try and do and keep it as clean as possible. Last week we were 11-11-1. Okay.
Well, okay. So you probably carried the weight, dude, because I, like I said, NFL, I was better. But college, dude, I know I had at least three losses.
Listen, for the last 2 or 3 weeks, I haven't been great either. Like, you know, I'm okay owning it. I have not been great either. And again, we were so good for so long, you know, for a couple months there, even, you know, during the whole COVID period, even when we were putting out plays, we did very well at the start of WNBA. I did really well in baseball.
UFC was rocking because it was the only sport at one point.
UFC was really good. So listen, it's part of the game. You go up and down. And football just started. You know, I understand the frustration wanting to win every bet. It's just, you know,
it's not going to happen. And listen, we take our L's. I'm not trying to sit here and say, you know, here's the excuse for our reasons now. But no. I will say this. There is an importance of betting on game day, right? You could have got a Patriots line this week of 6.5. It landed on 7 the day of. And then if Ryan Tannehill doesn't fucking throw an interception in the end zone there, they're kicking a field goal, scoring a touchdown, and going an onside kick. You're on the right side of it. The number was 6 or 7. I know you have some shit in a little bit, Dan, about the number in general, which we always talk about. In the end, the number sometimes doesn't matter if you like a team outright. We'll talk about all that. So after 15 minutes of us just fucking blabbing, let's talk about two games off the bat tonight. We got the Thursday night football game between the Bengals and the Browns tonight. The line opened at 46. It's 43-44, Dan, at my book right now. It was 43. So that's the total, and I believe the Browns are -6, 5.5, wherever you're at. That's one game, and then it's game two of the Eastern Conference Finals between the Heat and Celtics. It's 2.5 local here, so I'm not sure what everybody else's number is. I think the line's been at 212. Today it was 208.5 on the total. Not sure what it is right now. Which game do you want to start on first?
Let's start NFL because I think obviously there's more to talk about with the NBA. So let's start NFL.
All right, cool. So I have a few trends. Dan, I'm not patting myself on the back because I won 11 games on this. I do a pick 'em league. Maybe we should start doing one. I don't know how we can set it up. Maybe like a CBS or some bullshit. But I pick every game of the week. It's just I'm in a league and I do it every week. 11 wins. Everyone else had 12, so I felt like I was in. You know, I mean, the only guy who beat me had 12 is what I mean. But looking at the trends for this week, Thursday night football, the Browns are coming off a double digit loss against the Bengals. The Bengals blew it, man. The fucking kicker missed it. Joe Burrow played well. Tyrod Taylor was Tyrod Taylor. They were better than we expected. I didn't think the game was going to be anywhere near that one. My only thing is this. There's always this regression on week one to week two, right? Or this over-exaggeration of teams from week one to week two. So double-digit losers from week one cover week two 62.5% of the time. And 7 teams lost by 10 points or more in week one. The Browns were one of those teams. Well, they're -6 tonight. The total was 46. The only other angle I'll give you is this. The under in the next game hits at 62%. So here we are, Browns, Bengals, totals 46, been bet down the 43, 44, my book. I spoke to you this morning and I said, Dan, what is it about the line today? I feel like I like the under. You told me you'd like the over. I went home. I've done more research. Fuck it, PPP, get that bell going. Get the bell going, Dan. I'm going.
Let's go.
PP over 44.
I like it.
Tonight's Bengals and Bucks game.
Yeah, I think everyone's going to be on the under tonight. It's going to be a classic. Oh, Bengals, Browns, shit show. Look, neither of these teams are very good defensively, and I think that's being overlooked. I think that you see the number opening at 46 for a reason. No, I believe last week, and yes, the bell's super fucking obnoxious, so I apologize for that, but it is what we have what we have. Listen, the number opened at 46, and I think that you really need to take a look at where the number opened comparatively to where it's going. It's down to 43. To me, the 43 number, or 44, I guess, at this point, I got it at 43 this morning, is I think that we're starting to go the wrong way on this. So, you know, I look at the total and I say, well, Joe Burrow, who I actually, everyone's praising him last week. I didn't think he was that good. I thought he was okay. You know, he's still rookie, so he's going to make a lot of mistakes. But I do think that, you know, he's going to be better, especially against a defense that really good up front, but really has not been good in the secondary. And, you know, the Bengals to me are just horrendous defensively. I mean, I don't really think that there's any way to put it. So I'm going to take the over with you. I mean, I'm not going to PP it, but I very much like the over.
All right. And Dan, I have the luxury of using a nice little banner to show the PP. PP over 44, Browns, Bengals, Joe. Dan isn't making the pick. I am. That's why I have Joe. I would write double PP over 44 if we both were on it.
Yep. And by the way, when it comes to talking about how bad Mayfield is.
Yes, and I actually wanted to talk about this. Go ahead.
Yep. Mayfield has been very good against the Bengals. And actually, after a down week for Mayfield, which, by the way, last week was very much a down week, he's usually responded with points. Now, is he going to throw an interception or two? It's fucking Baker Mayfield. Obviously, he's going to make mistakes. He's not a very good quarterback. I overrated him last year. That's on me. I thought he was going to come out and be better, you know, coming off his rookie season. I was wrong.
Dan, but Case Keenum, baby. Get ready. Fucking bus is warming up, Case Keenum.
Let's not forget. I'm sorry by that train.
Was it 2 years ago, 3 years ago when Tyrod Taylor was the starter of the Browns? Remember we bet the Browns? They never won a game ever. Remember the cooler? Remember they had the fucking coolers? Yep. Like, hey, if the Browns win,
we'll give you a free case of beer.
Right? Yep. We bet the Browns that night. We were like, get Tyrod Taylor the fuck out of the game, right? What did they do? They pull Tyrod, they bring in Baker, they win the game. Free beer for everybody. Maybe it happens tonight with Case Keenum. I hate to like go back to old games. He might be in that spot tonight. I don't. All I'm saying is, if he throws four fucking pick sixes, all right, it's gonna help the over. All right.
I do agree with that.
PP over 44 Browns Bengals. Now Dan. Last week, it's so funny because so many people came at me on this one. Remember that Texans game last week? What was the line when we were doing the show?
I think that was the total 54. Was that?
It was 53 and a half.
Okay. And you said,
remember I said, should I buy the point?
And I said, no, I don't think it's a key number.
And what happened?
It landed
on 54.
I agree.
This isn't a shit on you.
It's okay.
Hey, if you want to buy it, buy it. I am not a fucking models guy. I don't like, I have this. In my opinion, I would take the over 47 or above. The line was 46. So therefore, I'm a car guy. So when I like look at numbers, I always go by the year before or the year after. So for example, anything 47 or above, I would take. So 44 and a half, I wouldn't buy the point. It's up to you. But I'd cover your ass. And I have the bankroll where I can add the fucking whatever, $50 or whatever it is to add the point. All I'm saying is I feel good about this game from 47 points on up in that area.
Personally, in my opinion, if you do the math, long term, it's not worth to buy points. It's just not. It's usually over time, buying points is going to end up have you ending up in minus EV situation instead of positive. And that's honestly the most important thing. We're all trying to make money. We're all trying to win. So unless you have an established bankroll and you really feel it's a key number, I would not say 44 and a half is a key number. Just like I said last week, 54 is not a key number. I would say to you that I would not buy the point. That's my personal opinion. You guys are obviously entitled to do whatever you want. But yes, the over that Joe and I are playing is 44. Joe is playing the PP. I feel pretty good about it all, up to about 45, honestly. I think 46 is probably about the range of
And just remember, I woke up and said, I feel under this morning. This was doing no research. This was based off a trend on teams that lose by double digits week one and how they play week two. Well, the Browns, the Bengals lost and, well, they pushed, I guess, right? Realistically, I think the number was down 3.
Yep. So that was the only. And again, remember there were times where the Chargers were -2.5. So again, depending on where you got that line. Now tonight, in terms of the actual spread, Cleveland opened at 7.5 or 8 in some books. It's down to 6, I believe, if I'm looking correctly these days. I think you could probably find maybe a 5.5 here and there. I don't love the spread. I would lean Cleveland, but you're not going to see me get the backing of Baker tonight, even at a 6. I'm looking at, I would probably need the 4 range for me to back Cleveland, even though it's essentially a dead number. I would probably feel more comfortable in that range. I think that the move on Cincinnati at 7.5 was a sharp move, because it was, 7.5 is a key number. Obviously getting that extra hook, obviously off the key number of 7, is really important. So that's pretty much why, I think that was the initial move. Now, after the initial move, I think that we moved from 7.5 to 7, and now that's down to 6. So I think you probably see some people copying and following that move down to 6 from 7. So the way I would look at it, I lean Cleveland. That 7.5 opening, or that eight number, should pretty much tell you a lot about this game tonight, a lot about where the bookmakers believe where the line should be. So I lean Cleveland, but I don't feel that there's a necessity to play that personally.
Couple of things: the Browns have won 3 of their last 4 against the Bengals in this matchup. Last year it went 1-1. And for those that want to know the trends, I just throw it out there. The over has hit in this matchup 4-0-1 in the last 5 meetings. So that person who mentioned about the half a point, well, at one point it did push. So, but 4-0-1. And then the other thing I saw was, in the last 11 meetings, the Bengals are 9-2 against the spread. So Dan, one more question about this. I like Cleveland tonight. And I think that if they do pull, if Case Keenum comes in this game, the Browns fucking roll. I'm telling you. I like Cleveland. I'm not betting it. I like Cleveland. But is there anything here where you would still fade the Bengals on national television?
You mean fade the Browns or the Bengals? Bengals.
They're not a good number. They weren't a good
Right, but that was under Marvin Lewis more so. I know that trend kind of continued last year, but I'd say that's more of a Marvin Lewis not prepping his team for the big moment type of angle. And obviously, since he's no longer the coach and Zach Taylor's taken over, I'm not as concerned and don't even really put a ton of stock into that. I do take a look and say, what is Baker Mayfield going to do on the big stage tonight instead, actually, Joe? Because Mayfield, if you remember last year, the big coming out party was against, it was Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football against the Browns and Browns and Niners. And I think it was the Browns may have been 3-point favorites or 2-point favorites in that one, or the Niners were. And everyone, I believe myself included, were on the Browns. And I think the Niners just fucking rolled them. And ever since then, I cannot remember a time that Baker was effective on a primetime game. And so I actually worry more about Baker Mayfield in the spotlight tonight than I do about Joe Burrow, who has performed better in the spotlight more recently than Baker Mayfield has.
Dan, so, I think Joe Burrow's a way better prospect than what Baker Mayfield was. I've liked Baker Mayfield. It's the Browns. They probably ruined him, but he hasn't done himself any favors. I'm not touching a side. Our buddy the tax man can't trust the Browns at 6. That's fine.
I agree. I thought the number was skewed this week, but I also have no interest in backing a rookie in primetime either. So it's like, where do I really want to value it?
Manage bankroll. The Rams Browns game last year still haunts me. Oh my God, dude.
I forgot about that game.
It's funny. You remember your losses, right? You never remember your wins.
Yep.
You always remember. And yes, I agree with you on that one. And don't get me wrong. The Browns are going to throw a creative blitz package, I'm sure, at Joe Burrow. That could lead to turnovers. That could lead over. All right. I'm going over. If I lose, Joe, you suck. Be better.
All right, let's move on to the NBA, because I think that obviously all the Celtics fans are going to want to listen to, you know, kind of what we think about the game beforehand. Obviously, you guys saw what I posted the other day. I know that you all were fucking angry. I get it. I understand the anger. I do. You know, I understand the frustration with me taking the heat as a Celtics fan and everyone, and, you know, not wanting to bet against the Celtics. Look, money doesn't have a bias. I did the same thing last year in Stanley Cup Game 7 with the Bruins and the Blues. I took the Blues. I had the Blues the whole series. Joe took the Bruins. We were against each other. It happens. I believe Joe was on the Celtics this series too.
I didn't bet the Celtics. Oh,
fair enough. Yeah,
I'm worried about the Heat, man. Okay, go ahead. Go.
No, it's fine. So the Celtics are now -3. Okay, the line opened at 1.5. We're at 3 now. Okay. This line movement game, everything reminds me of the exact same thing that happened in game 2 with Toronto. Okay. Toronto opened as a 1-point favorite, got up to 3, and then what did they end up doing? They ended up absolutely, I believe they got killed that game. To me, this reads as a Miami play or nothing. If you're looking at a side, I know Celtics fans fucking hate that, but I cannot back the Boston Celtics until I see Kemba Walker have a good game. Until Kemba Walker can prove that he can score, and not in the fourth quarter and not on the classic UConn game, I'm talking about get around his defender, because I think we saw in the first half, you know, in game 1, Kemba Walker could not get around his defender. Brad Wanamaker did a better job turning on the corner than Kemba Walker did, and that is scary to see. I think there's a physical issue, Joe. It's not just a mental thing. I think it's a legitimate physical issue with Kemba and that knee. I don't think he has the explosiveness. I think he's so bad from 3 because he's not getting the normal lift that he usually gets on his 3-point shots. And there have been other people much smarter than me who have said the same thing, and that's the reason he's struggling from 3 is because he's not getting the same lift, not getting the same type of jump. I think that is a main issue with Kemba, and I don't see that changing anytime soon. Now, I hope he goes out there as a fan and sticks it up my ass tonight and says, fuck you, and, you know, hits 7 threes in a row and pulls a goddamn Marcus Smart. I just don't see it happening. And until that happens, Brown does not look physically the same. It looks like, you know, his groin is still bothering him. Tatum, as much as I love Tatum, in the closing moments, what has Jason Tatum done? Game 7 against Toronto, he was terrible. Terrible. Okay, let's be honest. He was not good in the final moment, in the final 4 to 5 minutes of that game. Game 1 against Miami, 0-for-7 in the fourth quarter, in the final 5 minutes of fourth quarter and overtime. He didn't hit a bucket. He turned the ball over. He missed multiple shots, didn't drive at the end of the game, took a lackadaisical, terrible 3-point shot. That is not a guy I'm backing in a closing moment when the NBA really comes down to the final 5 to 10 minutes of game outside of, you know, just outside of the, you know, everything that goes on. So to me right now, they are unbackable at this time until I see Kemba Walker, you know, kind of, you know, have a really, really good game. And they're unbackable until, you know, Jason Tatum matures a little bit. And again, I expect Tatum to be really, really, really fucking good in the next few years, Joe. But for right now, I think Joe's on the phone, so if you could kind of hear him in the back. But right now, I cannot back this Celtics team. Now, if you're looking for a Celtics angle, you want to bet something on the Celtics game tonight, I like the 208, under 208 tonight. I like the under again. I do think we're going to see something similar to what we saw last game. A defensive battle. These two teams are going to be very, very good defensively. And so that's kind of the way that I'm looking at it tonight, is we're going to see, you know, a low scoring type of game. So I'm going PP. That PP under 208.5 in Miami, Boston. You should be able to find it. Joe, your mic is still on, by the way.
I hear you. Go
ahead, your mic is still on, so yeah. But anyways, yeah. So anyways, I'm going under the 208. So give me the PP in that one, and that is going to be my play there. And Joe is obviously handling some business right now, so I don't know what's going on there, but hopefully he'll be back in a minute here. My problem with the Celtics is I do not believe that they can close games right now. I do not believe that they are. I do not believe that they are able to kind of finish games. So until they can finish a game, and I know they finish off the Raptors series, until they can finish a game, I can't back them. Joe, are you back?
I'm back. Sorry, I had to take an important phone call. Did anybody hear or no?
Yes, we all heard the phone call. Every single person. We can't tell if it's the weed guy or the bookie or the wife or who the fuck it is. But everyone heard that. Is it Kowloon?
Oh no! I did. Oh, that was good. I go, dude. We're doing our picks right now. He goes, oh, really? I was like, yeah. Oh, you don't have Twitter or anything. he's got nothing. So I'm like, oh, geez, yeah. I'm probably just going to have to tell you the next time I see you. Oh, that was funny. But I heard you say you like the under.
Yes, I'm taking the under. Under 208.5, I PP. Oh,
damn.
Yep.
Oh, here we go. PP.
Yep.
Under 208.5.
Yep.
Heat Celtics.
Yep. So we now have two PPs. We should have one in each game, the NFL game and the NBA game. I'm not taking Miami. I'm not going to make you guys lose your fucking minds. I do want to tell you guys, though. I do want to tell you. This line movement and this feels very, very much like game two in the Toronto Celtics series where Boston took a 2-0 lead over the Raptors. Same thing to me. It feels super, super similar. Same spot, same line, same live movement, total drops, very similar.
All right. So a couple of things. I heard you. I was listening. I was multitasking.
Multitasking, very, very important.
I gotta get some things in for tonight, and extra. So I'm saying, because there's a lot going on this weekend.
I get it.
So, the Heat are 9-1. Okay, unbiased, take off the glasses. The Heat to me are the better team. I think the Celtics have more talent, but we've talked about this. They roll 10 deep. Bam Adebayo had 9 assists. 9 assists. He holds the ball at the foul line and nobody can cover him. So, Dan, when we started the series, we said the Celtics don't have a big man that can cover the perimeter. That doesn't mean 3-point shooting. Did you see Goran Dragic on Robert Williams? He gave him an up fake. Literally, it was like what we practiced. Well, okay, I played high school ball. We would get the ball, right? You'd step into the shot, you'd up fake it, and then you'd, dribble to the hoop, up fake. Right. Literally just Robert Williams. I'm not shitting on Williams. He is a liability on defense, but the guy, he's just not like one of these like in the classroom defensive guys. He could get there, right? He'll probably spend all offseason learning pick and roll defenses and shit like that. Okay. Enes Kanter's made a career of not playing that way, so he'll be fine, okay? All I'm trying to tell you is the issue with the Celtics, it's not Gordon Hayward. Could he help offensively? Yes. The problem with the Celtics is this. They could blow teams out offensively, but Kemba Walker's struggling right now. If they pulled him and put in Gordon Hayward, a healthy Gordon Hayward, would that help? Yes. But Gordon Hayward is not healthy right now. Brad Wanamaker is actually giving them something, which is a fucking shock. The Celtics don't have a big late in games to cover the rim. They don't. So therefore, when you're up 12 points, Goran Dragic, Jimmy Butler, Tyler Herro, none, whoever the fuck you want, can drive right to the paint because there's no rim protector. So when Daniel Theis gets 6 fouls, there's nobody in the game. They go with Grant Williams. It doesn't help. I'm not shitting on Grant Williams. I'm not shitting on Robert Williams. They do not have a guy late in games that can cover the rim. right or wrong, because that's the issue. It's, yes, they are having a closer issue. Yes, they pounded the basket. Dan, can I? You know what? I wanted to bring this up. I've wanted to bring this up.
Good.
You ready? You ready for this one? This one is get ready.
Okay, I'm ready.
This one's a. You gotta hang on your seats here.
Oh boy.
I'm glad that Kyrie Irving is gone. They're a better team without Kyrie Irving. Do they win those games if Kyrie Irving has the basketball? Do they close out the series earlier in seven games with the Raptors? And do they close out a game with a 12-point lead with Kyrie Irving?
I think you win the series against Toronto with Kyrie. I don't think you win the series.
They're a better team without Kyrie. They can win games without Kyrie. The Kyrie conversation's over after I mention this. But that's what the idea was with Kyrie. The idea was he can close out games. It didn't work out. But the Celtics, they're not a team that can... Dude, listen to Danny Ainge's interview today. Listen to Brad Stevens. They're pissed that they pounded the ball and wasted time. They're pissed. That's not how Jaylen Brown was a third option, dude, and he was the guy who gave you your tip in to stay in the game. He wasn't even acknowledged, Dan. He wasn't even acknowledged late in the games.
Yeah, I thought they did a poor job getting the ball to him late in the game. I thought that I think that there's going to be a major issue going forward if they don't get him the ball late in the game. I think that him and Tatum both need to have the ball in their hands, and especially when Kemba Walker is playing just as Kemba Walker was previously.
Okay, just quick, this guy who wrote this, you're probably right. I'm just trying to throw the fact that they had a closer. We think Kemba's a closer, right? We think he is. They've gotten here with him, so I'm not going to shit on him. I'm just trying to say that's what Ainge was trying to go for.
Right. And again, I think that Kemba, the idea of Kemba was the same way. The problem is that I think when you have when you're legitimately hurt, and I think Kemba is legitimately hurt, regardless of the fact that they're not telling anyone, I think this is bad. I'm gonna be perfectly honest with you guys. I know someone out there said that the Heat were lucky. Everything had to go right for them to win the game. I think it was the exact opposite. I think everything had to go right for the Celtics to have a lead and then blow it. Because the way I watched that game, I couldn't believe the Celtics were up in that game. The way that they played, they got outstanding performances from Marcus Smart, and which again, I can expect Marcus Smart to be very, very good defensively and contribute offensively. I can't expect him to be your leading scorer for part of the game. And I cannot expect Brad Wanamaker to give you the performance that he did. So I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's the exact opposite. I think the Celtics were lucky as a fuck to be in the position that they were.
And I agree with you.
The fact that Miami was so cold at the beginning. Miami couldn't hit a shot for the first 5-10 minutes of that game. They had, same thing in the third quarter. Precarious, lucky, whatever you want to call it. I thought Miami went cold and Boston took advantage. But again, I'm going to tell you the same thing. This is not going to be an easy series. Kemba Walker has not played well in 5 games now. 5. This is not a 1 game or a 2 game thing. This is 5. This is now a thing. We're going on 5 games now where the guy has struggled physically.
He's 9 of 50, man. He's legitimately from the 1 of 9, dude. You got to figure out you can't shoot anymore. Like he needs to go to the basket. And listen, it's so hard.
He's passing up shots, Joe. There's something wrong.
And he's money around the foul line. I'll give him that. Like he gets to the inside the paint. He's money. He is short though. Have you noticed how he looks small, dude? I never considered him a point guard. Do you know that? Like I never really thought of him as a point guard until he came to Boston. He's small, man. He compared to a lot of these other guards, like the Heat have that matchup. Well, you even mentioned this before the series. When they can go Jimmy Butler at the 4 and Bam at the 5, they're hard, man. They're hard to defend. And that's why Brown was effective around the basket.
And I'm gonna tell you the same thing. Who the fuck do you hide Kemba on the series? You cannot hide Kemba on someone this series. That's the problem, because
you want it to be Jay Crowder, and he went off.
Yeah, and again, but Jay Crowder has been shooting, not like that, because that was ridiculous. But Jay Crowder's been shooting pretty well from three for the majority of the series. And Duncan Robinson gave you nothing. Duncan Robinson has been one of their best shooters. Tyler Herro gave you pretty – I mean, Tyler Herro was ridiculous in game one. He's not going to repeat that performance. But the way he was shooting, same thing. Those guys have been shooting lights out.
His three that's five. When they were – Celtics were up five and he hit that three, dude, that was huge.
I think we've
watched enough of this bubble that I think the Heat are 9-1 and the best team for a reason. You can't let Jay Crowder go for 20 points tonight, but at the same time, Dan Smart's not going to go for 25 again. So, like, that's a wash.
And Wanamaker's not going for 15.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So, I mean, the Celtics are heavily favored tonight, and that concerns me. I feel like the Heat are getting no respect. They're 9-1 on the bubble. They're 9-1.
In the playoffs. Just the playoffs.
I know. They're 9-1. Like, I don't know. Listen, if the Celtics come out and, like, are burying them by 20, they got their offense back. If they can play the way that they play basketball when they pass the ball, shoot and cut, all this shit, like, that's Celtics basketball, and they win. Both teams are really good on defense. They really are. There's something about the Heat. And, dude, Andre Iguodala did shit. Like, he ain't going to happen again either. You know what I mean? Like,
Iguodala gave you nothing except he was good in the final, like, few minutes defensively. But other than that, he was terrible. Dropped, missed the fucking three-pointer and wide open three, I think twice. He finally hit one, but he missed. Iguodala is too good. I'm scared that Miami is going to play better, and I'm not sure how Boston can, because you need Jaylen Brown to step up. You need Kemba to step up. And I'm very worried that both those guys are not physically 100%. And that is terrifying if I'm a Celtics backer. So there's no fucking way I'm backing that team. None. Zero.
I have to wait a game in order I touch the Celtics. But Tatum 30, Tice 4. Tice needs to be better. Walker gave you 19. And we know he gave you 19, dude, and was bad. Right? Smart's not going to give you 26 again. And Jaylen, people hated how, you know, he had 14 shots in that game. I still think he wasn't involved late. And then the bench, like, hey, I'm fine with Grant Williams. I'm fine with whatever he is. He hit a three when he's wide open. He plays decent defense. He's where you need him to be, but he's not a big. They need a big that can play. They don't have one. And Bam Adebayo is just a matchup. Dan, the four teams remaining right now, okay? What do the Lakers have? Anthony Davis, what's he, a big, right? What does Denver have? Jokic, he's a big. What does Miami have? Bam Adebayo, he's a big. The Celtics have Tice. I'm not shitting on Tice. It's just there's a reason why these teams are in it. They run through their big.
I do agree with that. I do agree with that. We spent a lot of time on the series now.
Yes.
So I think we should move on.
We got two PPs.
Yep, two PPs. We gave you an NFL PP and an NBA PP. If you missed it, you know, I'm sure someone in the chat can tell you it's not a big deal. We appreciate you guys watching and listening, so thank you. What I will tell you is, you know, I do think that if Boston loses this game tonight, I do think that their backs are up against the wall, and I do think they play better in those situations. So I am not – I'm telling you right now, if the Celtics lose, I'm not losing my mind. I'm not telling you the series is over. It is not over, just not. So don't lose your mind. Don't freak out. All right. Let's move on to Joe. Where do you want to start? College football, I believe. I believe this is where we should start for this week.
Yes. Okay. I know I have one PP, Dan, for the Saturday night game between Miami and Louisville, which we'll get into at some point.
I have a few. I'm just pulling up now. Okay.
Yeah. Let's start
Friday night. Okay.
By the way, just real quick, Friday night, man. You mentioned it's Campbell, right? Your favorite team versus Coastal Carolina.
Yep.
Holy shit, dude! So first off, I love the Coastal Carolina logo. Okay, the rooster. I'm an Allison Chains fan.
The Chanticleers, man.
So yes, the Chanticleers. But it's the rooster, and I'm an Allison Chains fan. So, like, when I see the rooster, I just want to play Alice in Chains. They come to snuff the rooster. Coastal Carolina is a good team, man. That Maribel kid's pretty good. Yeah. Who else did they have? They had a their quarterback was decent. They had three kids on their defense that are from Massachusetts. Like, one was from Brighton High, Dorchester. I'm like, where the hell did all these kids come from? Boston must be like a recruiting haven for Coastal Carolina.
I mean, for all the kids who think that they're not good enough for BC, they end up at Coastal. Yeah, so I mean, Coastal's returning Bryce Carpenter. They're a pretty good team, dude. And you know, we've talked about the Sun Belt, right, Joe? And like, you look at the Sun Belt last week, three games against Power Five teams, 3-0. The Sun Belt is on the rise, and really that conference is really looking good. Now, Campbell gave Georgia Southern, minus their 33 players, all that they could handle. Georgia Southern won, I believe, by 1 point last week. IPP Georgia Southern, not knowing the 33 were out. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to fucking take that as an excuse. It's an L. I will fucking own that shit. Coastal Carolina, which I said I liked, absolutely dominated Kansas. They let up on them in the second half. But, you know, they dominated them really in the first. I think it was like 28-3 at halftime, like that. Coastal opens at 24.5 point favorites this week. That line is up 26.5 now, Joe. Total sitting at 53. So I think that now Coastal is probably a little overvalued in markets, especially after last week. Play up to your competition, play down to your competition. It's a classic Sun Belt and just college football trend. So I actually lean Campbell. I'm not playing. I'm not touching it. I have no interest in this game. But Friday, fun game to watch. If you're around Friday, you have nothing to do. You're standing because of COVID and you're bored. Coastal Carolina is a fun game to watch if you don't want to watch the Lakers lose game one to the Nuggets because it's game one and LeBron loses every single fucking game one. So you already know where I'm going tomorrow night. But yeah, Coastal Carolina, fun game to watch. I'm interested in watching this Campbell team. Haj Malik Williams is the quarterback for Campbell, returning starter there. Again, they're an FCS team. They weren't great last year, but they gave Georgia Southern all they can handle. So we'll be interested. I'm going to be probably watching that game because I'm a loser and interested to see that. All right, Joe, let's start the Saturday slate off correctly. You ready for this, buddy?
I'm ready.
Tulsa travels to Stillwater to take on Chuba Hubbard and the Oklahoma State football team. Oklahoma State opened. Let me get the line up here. They're currently 22.5 point favorites. The total is 66.5. Line open, by the way, at Oklahoma State at 20.5. I think that this is going to be a classic game where, despite the fact that I love Oklahoma State, right? I love them, and we've kind of talked about them. Tulsa's quarterback this year, Zach Smith, returner from last year, so he's going to have a little bit of experience. Oklahoma State obviously returns their quarterback, Spencer Sanders. We've talked about him. Tylan Wallace, Joe, who's my favorite college wide receiver, my favorite one out of every player in college. He's coming off the ACL tear, so he's back for them. Chuba Hubbard, who we just mentioned, is returning at running back. Mike Gundy, obviously, the whole offseason bullshit kind of go on with them. This is going to be an interesting game. I think the 20.5 point spread, Joe, feels very Notre Dame-like to me from last week, where the favorite is shaded to 19.5, 20.5, under that key number. The underrated, team in the conference. Tulsa had, 2 or 3 wins last year. They weren't great, but they played very tough to Texas to the fourth quarter. I like Tulsa this week to cover that number. I'm not playing it. Again, not peeping it, just telling you what I like. I think Tulsa into Stillwater without fans covers the number. The total this week, by the way, is at 66. I do lean under on that one, but I have no interest in playing it. And my favorite thing on this one is Tulsa with the spread, but obviously don't feel good enough about it to PP it. Joe?
So I agree with you. Oklahoma State should roll. I've bet this game in the past. Over 66 might be a play, but overs have been a little tricky so far in COVID, so I'd watch out for that just a little bit here. Oklahoma State's the favorite, and don't get me wrong, they should probably win by 2+ touchdowns. To me, there's a few angles to it. I just wanted to give you a couple of trends on this one. In the last four meetings, 0-4 against the spread is the Golden Hurricanes. The favorites 4-0 against the spread the last four meetings. Yeah. And the under has been very hot in the series as well.
Yeah, that is where I lean. I lean the under on that. I just think that Tulsa, returning starter, you know, in a COVID landscape, returning home without the home fans, going to be very weird. I do think that we're going to see a I think Tulsa's going to cover this. Might be a backdoor, whatever it is. Not calling for an outright winner like we did last week with Lafayette, and almost South Alabama. But I do like that. All right, Joe. 12:00 game. This is probably not a game you love or give a shit about. Austin Peay traveling to Cincinnati to take on University of Cincinnati.
I mean, Austin Peay got completely fucking dismantled last week.
Ruined.
And Cincinnati. I mean, they only lost their running back, who's pretty good last year.
Yep. I don't love this game.
Oh, dude, by the way, Cincinnati should completely roll up. Being 13 in the country, they should, like, dismantle.
They should. They're 34-point favorites right now. Total still has not moved after the opening number of 52.5. I lean under 52.5. I do. I'm not going to play.
Yeah, I like that number.
It is something I may add. I don't think – I'm not expecting Cincinnati to – Desmond Ridder is returning for Cincinnati at the quarterback there, by the way. Yeah, I like Ridder a lot.
I think he's a sophomore, right? I mean, he was a freshman last year, I believe.
Or
it might have been 2 years ago. He's still young. I mean, I remember
he's a junior. Yep.
He's good. He can move. He can play. He can run. He can pass. Yeah, he's decent.
Yep. So I do think Cincinnati's going to win the game going away. I'm not going to take them to cover. I would not be shocked if they only scored, 35 points. I'm not expecting PA to get over two touchdowns against this defense, returning a lot of starters, good defense. Jeremiah Oates follows the quarterback for PA. He's been absolute garbage. The running game really hasn't been that impressive, despite how good, PA was last year in the FCS. So anyways, that's my lean in that one. Let's move on. 12:00, Joe. Louisiana Lafayette coming off that upset win over Iowa State in Ames, taking on Georgia State. Georgia State had that kid last year, the quarterback Dan. I'm blanking on his last name right now. Apologies. But they are starting a new quarterback, Cornelius Brown, named the starter for Georgia State this week.
ULL supposedly just had 11 players test positive for COVID. That's at least what somebody mentioned in the chat today.
Correct. Yes. So ULL has players tested for COVID as well.
ULL though, man, they're no joke, dude. They were 1-0 so far. I mean, your Georgia Southern team maybe was looking ahead last week.
Yeah, this is Georgia State, different team. It was Dan Ellington was the quarterback last year for Georgia State. Listen, Levi Lewis and this Louisiana Lafayette team, they should win this game going away. Now, the spread should scare you a little bit. It was opened at 17. It's down to 15.5, okay? And the total is now down to 57. That's probably, probably because we see some players out for Louisiana Lafayette, so the total is going to drop. I'm going to tell you that I would be scared of the spread with Louisiana Lafayette this week. I wouldn't play them as a big favorite. Coming off a big win, big emotional win in Ames, I think that's a bad spot. Georgia State, again, I don't know a ton about this kid. I tried to look into Cornelius Brown. I don't know a ton about him, but we're going to see. We'll learn a little bit about this team this week. We'll see. I don't love this game in general, Joe. Don't love it.
Can we talk Houston Baylor for a second here?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
All right. I know you said, I think you said you liked Baylor, but you might have been down on him from last year when we did our preview. Houston brings back Danner Holgerson. Remember him from West Virginia?
I do.
He knows Baylor. I mean, he knows Baylor was opened at 7.5. It's down to 4.5. I think that's right. But, dude, Houston, they'll score a lot of points, but they'll give up 30 a night. So yep. I'm already looking at the over in that one.
So they're bringing back Clayton Toon, who is the quarterback from last year after De'Aaron King transferred out. So Toon is the starter there. I actually don't think that he's you know, that bad. I think that he was pretty underrated last year, kind of forced into a shitty situation. Yeah, obviously, if you remember the De'Aaron King situation. And Baylor bringing back Charlie Brewer, Joe. Second year, obviously, no Matt Rhule. A lot of guys lost. No Denzel Mims. So, I mean, Baylor is going to be without a lot of guys. I think, you know, Baylor opening 7.5 and moving down to 4. I think that's right. I think Houston is probably the side. In terms of the total, Joe, I do lean over. I do. I think that you're going to get some good quarterback play. As you said, Houston's defense is a massive work in progress. It was in West Virginia, too. Dana Holgorsen is not a great defensive coach. And, you know, what are we going to get out of this new Baylor defense, right? Like, what exactly are we going to get out of, you know, this scheme and whatever? Dave Aranda, I think, is the new coach there. So what are we going to get out of them? So if anything, I would say, you know, take the over, because they do know, you know what Charlie Brewer can do in that offense. You know what Clayton Tune and Houston can do offensively. You expect Holgorsen's defense to get slightly better, but still have to expect he's going to run a poor defensive program back to his days for West Virginia. So, yeah, I'd say if you're looking at something, I'd intuitively lead over.
All right, and that's going to be a good game. I mean, those are always, to me, Big 12. You know, I just always – and I'm interested to see what Baylor is this year with Rhule out, you know, bringing back quarterback. They lose Mims. I'm interested in – I think they'll be darlings of the Big 12 this year.
I think that Baylor is going to struggle. I do. I think that they're going to struggle. The schedule is so tough, man. It's so tough. So I suspect we're going to see a big drop off, and maybe a rise in the second year. But I suspect some drop off this year. Joe, let's go back to Pittsburgh, if you don't mind. Here, Syracuse and Pittsburgh. Syracuse playing in Pittsburgh in Heinz Field again. Now, Joe, last week, Syracuse could not kick a field goal, okay? I think they were like 0 for 2. They missed 21-yarder.
I had the over in that game, and that's, yeah, fuck Syracuse. Okay. Out!
Syracuse could not kick a fucking field goal. They're now playing in Heinz Field this week. That's like the hardest fucking place to kick a fucking field goal. So now we're going to go from a dome where I can't kick a field goal to the Heinz Field where I can't kick a field goal. Man, that sounds tough. Now, Joe, this Pitt line opened at 20.5. It's now 21.5. The under is being heavily, heavily bet in markets. The total opened at 51. It's now down to 50. Pittsburgh laid, what, a 40 spot or whatever it was on PA last week. I don't even remember the exact score. 50 spot, 50 burger may have been. 55 burger, 55 to nothing. Syracuse blew the cover in the fourth quarter. They were up. They were covering against UNC, blew the cover. Joe, what are we getting here in this one? Syracuse and Pittsburgh returning quarterbacks. But I will tell you, the Syracuse offensive line last week, from all accounts, was the worst in the nation. And the Pittsburgh defensive line is probably the best in the nation. It's going to start up front in the trenches. That scares the living fuck out of me. It makes me want to take Pittsburgh.
So I bet this game last year. Syracuse 1-4 against the spread in the last 5 in Pittsburgh. The underdog is 3-1-1 against the spread in the last 5 meetings. The under 6-2 in the last 8 meetings here.
I do lean under. I know it's heavy. I know it's public, but I do lean under.
But dude, none of these trends favor Syracuse. A lot of under love here between these two trends. So. I don't know, 50 just seems kind of low to me with the way Pittsburgh's playing right now.
Definitely. It definitely does. I mean, they as I said, they scored 55 versus PA last week. And, you know, I'll say this. If I'm taking a side, I'm absolutely taking Pittsburgh. There's not a fucking
Yeah, I'd lay off the total and take Pittsburgh in that day. But, again, Pittsburgh used to be that back-and-forth thing for me. Remember how I'd go against them and they'd kick my ass? So, yeah.
On the road, you had trouble with Pittsburgh for a couple of years, just like I did with Illinois. But you know what? You got back on track with Pittsburgh last year. The defensive line is so good for Pitt, and the offensive line, by all accounts, everyone who said watch the, I watched very little of that game. By all accounts, the offensive line was so bad for Syracuse. There's not a fucking prayer I'm backing that team. Can't do it. Even if it's the right side, I can't do it. All right, 12 o'clock, Joe. Liberty, Western Kentucky. Okay? This is an interesting kind of gross game. Well, if you like gross football.
Tell me about Liberty. I know you like them. I watched Western Kentucky last week. They sucked early on, and then Louisville felt bad for him and gave him a few touchdowns late.
I agree. So Tyrell Pigrome was the Maryland transfer who started for Western Kentucky. I definitely said that he was there last year. He was wrong. Nah, I apologize for that. Liberty is starting Malik Willis, who was just named as their starter this year. Listen, Hugh Freeze is bringing back a pretty good program from all accounts, Joe, okay? Western Kentucky already has a game under their belt. The fact is that right now Western Kentucky is a 14.5-point favorite. This opened at 13, and the total in this one, now 52, open at 54.5. Right now the under is getting 66% of the bet. I think it should. I think the under is probably the right side in this one. I don't know enough about Malik Willis to kind of go into an in-depth scouting report on him. What I can tell you is, from what I've heard, guy plays it safe, not a massive risk taker. Obviously, not going to be the guy of last year. Western Kentucky, Pigrome was not impressive, though. Like, what they returned, and from what I saw from Western Kentucky, I wasn't impressed at all. Now, you're going up against Louisville, and they were a really good team. I'm just saying, I'm not impressed by this team. I lean Liberty on the spread, and I lean the under. Liberty, to me, might be an addition on Saturday. They might be. I want to back them. I do. It's just I don't know a ton about the quarterback. I'm going to look more into him. Hopefully I'll like him a little bit. But the way that it sets up, I think Western Kentucky, even though they didn't get blown out by Louisville, because I think Louisville kind of felt bad, as you said, in the second half, I think right now they're being overvalued after they were really good last year. So, all right, Joe, 12 o'clock, Navy Tulane.
Tulane came back to win last week. I was surprised. They were pretty decent. And they do. They were a good second half team last year. Open at 8, down to 6.5. We watch Navy, Dan. I don't know. I don't know if I want to put any scratch on Navy.
Okay, so I'm going to say that Navy, and forgive me for not being able to pronounce his fucking name. Ken Niumatalolo, is that right?
Niumatalolo, yep.
I think it's Niumatalolo. Okay, Niumatalolo.
Should I get my wife down there? Hey!
Yeah, sir, get her on the phone.
Hawaiian guy. I'm sorry. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so I think Niumatalolo obviously fucked up with Navy. They know that. He's going to have this team prepared this week, right? It feels like you cannot – he's a good coach. Like, he is a well-respected coach. Navy was really good last year. Their program's good. We haven't really officially named a starter, but I assume they're going to go back to Daylon Morris, as they should, because he was bad last week, but the whole team was on.
I know.
Fair Joe. The whole team, like, you know.
It
starts up top. It was bad. It is probably the worst play that we picked.
This is a Navy team that's hard to stop. Tulane's Navy's had a couple of weeks to prepare. I can see why I saw some cappers this week already like Navy. I'm not touching this one.
Hold on. I'm not on Navy. I think that Keon Howard had a terrible week last week. The second half, it looked like he finally put some stuff together and was better. So I'm going to take a little rebound here. Give me Navy Tulane over 48. Fucking TV with the cowbell. Okay, I know. Navy Tulane over 48 PP. That's the first college PP. If you missed the show previously, first one. I think that I expect Navy to rebound. I expect Keon Howard to look better. That Spears kid for Tulane, he's a player, man. He's a fucking player. So I like the over. I'm going with Navy. I'm going with the over. I think they're going to rebound, Joe. I do.
And then Navy could give up 48 points, too.
By themselves. That could happen.
All right. Can we talk about BC Duke?
Yes, let's discuss BC Duke while the All Celtics right. are about to start here.
I feel that BC is not getting respect in this one. Do they deserve any respect, Dan? New coach. They've sucked really bad. Here comes Hafley in from Ohio State. There are a lot of players, dude, that have transferred to BC. Jerkovic in particular from Notre Dame. This dude got beat out by Ian Book and got buried by Kelly. He's gonna actually play. Then I've heard from everybody that this kid is still a college prospect. He probably won't get drafted, but like, you know, will probably be an undrafted kid. I saw six this week. I think this is a little bit of love for Duke covering last week, and I think the kid Bryce is better than we think. I do want to tell you, though, Bryce, though, that second half was not good against Notre Dame. First half, very good. Second half, nothing.
Well, they definitely adjusted.
Head-to-head trends, Duke versus BC. The road team is 4-0 against the spread in the last four meetings, and the under is 4-0 against in the last four meetings. I think BC is going to keep this game close. Now, who's going to run the rock for BC? Obviously, they lost their guys. I'm rooting for BC. Like, we need college football in Boston to be good.
Agreed.
Is this kid Bryce the difference in Duke beating BC this week? He might be. Six seems too much for me.
I like Duke. I like Duke. I like the six. I assume that Jerkovic is going to be named the starter, Joe. We haven't heard. It's between him and Dennis Grossel, who you remember last year started a few games for BC. I am not a fan of Dennis Grossel, and I don't think you are either. Not good. He has spurts and moments of brilliance, but not consistent enough, and I think Jerkovic is probably going to end up being the better prospect. That being said, new program, Joe, new coach, new offense. First time in the system. A lot of times quarterbacks like that struggle opening up. Chase Bryce was really good last week in the first half versus Notre Dame. Now, he struggled in the second half. I think that's some good adjustment by Notre Dame, but he wasn't terrible. Notre Dame is just a more talented team, especially at the skill positions. I think that they just kind of got outskilled. I think that Chase Bryce and this Duke team cover against BC. I think they win by double digits. Now, I'm not going to PP it. This is something I'm looking for Saturday, though. I want to double check and make sure we don't have 72 COVID outbreaks. I'm only going to give my most, you know, the plays I feel super confident about with the PPs. But this is a play I like. I think I'm going to end up on Duke Saturday.
The only thing I'll say in this one is I did think Duke, the receivers were pretty good, which will help Bryce. And who knows what what BC will do when it comes to that. And so, you know, Duke kept Notre Dame in it for a bit, or Notre Dame let them stay in it. Can BC control the clock? Can they get at Chase Bryce? I they're an unknown, dude. I really don't know. All I can tell you is everything I've heard locally here is that the BC program is going to surprise this year. Now, does surprise mean make a bowl? Does surprise mean not suck around the goal line and lose every big game? What does suck mean? Not mean. What does not suck mean? You know, all I can tell you is the matchup normally between BC and Duke, BC is dominated, but Duke has a Division I top school transfer quarterback. BC has the same guy. He's just in his last year and hasn't played in a while. So we saw Bryce. We haven't seen Jerkovic yet. So I'm rooting for BC is all I'm telling you.
I got nothing on the total in this one. The total opened at 51. It is up to 52. The whole world so far, again, it's early in the week, 77% of the bet on the under.
Under, yeah. Hey, Hafley's a defensive coach, and I'm sure
I think you'll probably see some offense. I do think that you'll probably see some offense, maybe some late scores if it gets out of hand. I'm just saying.
So that's it for the noon slate right now, right? Do we miss anything else?
That is it for the noon slate.
So I do want to bring up one thing with the 2:30 game with Notre Dame and USF. Ian Book played like shit last week. He did. He played like shit. The Notre Dame defense is still good, man. They have good receivers, and their running back can run the football. So, like, Notre Dame is a well-put-together team. I watched the whole game. I listened to a lot of it, too, on my way home. No Don Quirky. What happened to him? Remember that guy? He was, like, one of the best announcers. Anyways, USF, Dan, I let this one slip. I saw USF minus 17 versus the Citadel, and I was like, ooh, the Citadel has that quarterback there. And I'm like, oh, you USF sucks. Like, in my head, I'm like, oh, should I jump on this one? USF covered. Central Florida.
Did you see how they covered?
I did not, know.
Okay. The punter in his own end zone got a punt, dropped the punt, picked up the punt, made a nice play to avoid a defender trying to block the punter, tackle him, punts it. The punt does not go forward. It goes sideways off his foot in the end zone, and a USF corner, I think, catches the ball for a touchdown in the end zone. It was a ridiculous play.
Okay.
Ridiculous.
So, 25.5 for Notre Dame. Notre Dame's at home. They should fucking roll again here. I won't bet the number. I will not bet that number.
I'm going to start going on a pattern here. I think Ian Book is the most overrated fucking quarterback in the country.
He wasn't good last week.
I don't think he's good. I don't think this Notre Dame team is that good. I think they're being heavily overrated. Number 7 in the country? Fuck that. No way.
Yeah, that's an ACC thing, because they'll blow through their schedule, play Clemson, and it will help Clemson, you know, bump their number.
They got taken to task by Duke last week in the first half. Now, the second half got a little away from them. They got some favorable calls from the refs, just saying.
Oh, no, I watched. Notre Dame got –
first ACC game? Okay. 26.5 is a big fucking number at home. I would lean USF. Now, I'm not telling you USF's going to win. I'm just not backing Notre Dame, which I think is heavily overrated and really right now is more of a name than an actual program. I don't think USF is that good, but I'd lean USF. They showed me at least some fight last week. Notre Dame, oh boy. They scared the shit out of me last week, Joe. I don't want to back them. I want nothing to do with them. The total in this one, Joe, 48. Open at 51.5, 48. People expecting lots of unders. I say over, dude. I say there's going to be some points in this one. I expect South Florida to score some points. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. We'll see. I could easily be wrong. I'm not telling you to bet this one because I'm not. I'm just saying. Not a prayer. Oh, Kemba starts the game with a 3, so that's good. It's a good sign. Not a prayer in hell am I going to back Notre Dame this week. All right.
Okay. Here's what I got. Let me just throw.
Go ahead.
I'm leaning. No, it's cool. There's a team I love this week, and I need you to talk me out of it. Central Florida plays at Georgia Tech.
I figured that this was going to be.
I love Central Florida. Now their quarterback that played last year, Mac, he opted out, and McKenzie's coming back right from the broken leg.
He is not the starter. Dylan Gabriel played the last.
Gabriel's the lefty. Yeah, the lefty. He's decent.
He was a true freshman last year.
I like him. They've 10 players opted out from UCF. They're still ranked 13 in the country. They have a high-powered offense. Georgia Tech played a fucking ballsy-ass game last week. Now, are they going to bounce back from that game against, Florida State and play a UCF team, man? Talk me out of it. I'm going to buy a hook. Give me UCF minus 7 PP. Ring the bell.
Yeah, all right. There you go. There's your bell. I got to tell you, I took an early UCF number this week as well, Joe. I'm scared as fuck of this game. What, is the whole world backing Georgia Tech this week? Because it does kind of feel like that. It's on the road. I honestly, dude, I don't know what the fuck to make of this game. I don't. I think if you're going to look at something, I'd maybe say the under. Georgia Tech's defense looks really good. Jeff Sims, who's the starting quarterback for Georgia Tech, does not look really good. By the way, Duncan Robinson, 2 for 2 from 3 to start the game. He was terrible last game. I'm telling you, it's not going to be that bad.
I don't know how you're ahead of me every time.
I'll stop. It's early, so I'm not ruining anything yet.
6-5. It's a fast start. It's not helping our under here.
Yeah, I know. It's early. What I would tell you is UCF brings back Dylan Gabriel. Georgia Tech started Jeff Sims. Now, how does UCF start this year? They lost a lot of players. They are bringing back a lot of guys on defense, okay? Gabriel, it was really, really good last year. I do worry a little bit, about how he's going to be in the opening game.
Yeah, COVID. He's not being challenged by Mac, who opted out. So, yeah, there's something there.
And Georgia Tech's defense, like this is a marquee game for Georgia Tech. You know, they've had this one circled. They got their opening win versus Florida State. Now they get to do the double and versus UCF. I'm not taking Georgia Tech. I just think that there is legitimate upset potential here. But I also understand how you could look at this and say this is a fucking UCF for nothing play. So. Just kind of scares me.
Like this should be -10, -11 UCF normally, but it's on the road. UCF isn't as great on the road as they are at home, but there's no fans. So, you know, there's that angle to it as well. For the first game of the year, coming off a physical win, emotional win, I'm grabbing 7, buying the hook, and I am taking UCF.
Yeah, and the total right now is at 63, and this one's 62.5.
So, yeah. A little under there.
Very high total for a potential under, though. So that is one thing that made me nervous, but I do think that. All right, we need to go back to 3 o'clock. We skipped over a game. Stephen F. Austin, UTSA.
Oh, sorry about that.
It's okay. It's a shitty game. UTSA looked very good last week. Frank Harris is their starter. They ended up getting the victory over UTEP, who, honestly, UTEP might be the worst FBS team in the entire country and might be worse than an FCS team. Stephen F. Austin, who started, I'm trying to remember their Trey Self, should have won that game versus UTEP a couple weeks ago. We're on the goal line. I would suspect UTSA regresses this week. I lean UTSA, this one, the spread is 14.5 now. I lean Stephen F. Austin to cover as a dog. The total on that one is 50. I think we can move on from that. Joe, the 3:30 slate is awesome this week. Seriously, I think it might be 3 of the best games. The next 3:30 game, App State, our boys, App State on the road versus the Thundering Herd of Marshall and Grant Wells, who put up, what is it, a 57 burger, 52 burger, whatever the fuck it was, against Eastern Kentucky last week. 59 burger against Eastern Kentucky last week. So, Joe, I don't really know if you watched this game, paid attention to App State, what happened last week. App State opens as 3.5-point favorites. They're now 4.5, total sitting at 59.5. They played Charlotte opening week, got the victory, didn't do it convincingly, that's for damn sure. Interesting for this. I don't know what we're gonna see out of this Marshall team. Freshman quarterback played very, very well, but again, against Eastern Kentucky, terrible FCS team. What is it gonna be like against a App State team returning their starting quarterback? And you know, he's pretty good.
Yeah, you mentioned the 3:30 slate, and like Marshall's, they've had 2 weeks to prepare. I don't know. I think App State's the side here, even though Marshall's at home.
Marshall had
a tune-up game. They're gonna be playing one of the top 25 teams, but top 25 going on the road, no fans.
This
is where I feel like that's where it like.
No, not true. Huntington, West Virginia, there are going to be fans in the stands in Marshall.
Marshall had a 59-0 blowout to Eastern Kentucky that we know sucks.
Grant Wells, 307 yards, 4 touchdowns. They ran all over them. Now Marshall's wide receiver is really good.
Yeah, I like App State. I like App State here.
I want nothing to do with this one. Nothing. I think if you're betting this game, you're crazy. you got me crazy with this one. All right, the next 3:30 game, Florida Atlantic minus Lane Kiffin. Takes on Georgia Southern, who struggled last week, but, you know, pulled out the victory. Florida Atlantic on the road. They are starting new quarterback Nick Tronte, who was named the starting quarterback this week for FAU. Fuck.
These guys aren't missing any shots. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is not looking great for the under early on. But, again, it's super early again. You know, so I'm not super, super concerned yet.
Oh, Florida Atlantic, huh?
Florida Atlantic on the road. Now, I'll get the lines up for this one, Joe. Florida Atlantic opened as a 4.5-point dog in this one, okay? Sorry, open as a 4.5-point fave.
What's the total?
They're now a 1.5-point dog in this one. The total in this is 46.5.
Over easily.
So remember, Georgia Southern sucked last week.
they're gonna have to score this week.
And they didn't have 33 players. They played an FCS team in Campbell. I'm just worried. We don't know who's playing for Georgia Southern. Shy Wertz is gonna be the quarterback. So you know that sounds okay. What else are you gonna get? Because I'm a little worried about that. I don't know a ton about this Nick Tronte kid for Florida Atlantic. I want to see what happens here, Joe, but I'm scared to touch anything. Maybe I'm being a little bitch.
To me, 50 down to 46, it screams a little bit of the over. So I don't know. These mid – you mentioned a 3:30 slate. This one's – yeah, I'm out.
Florida Atlantic again. Open is the fave. Open is the fave.
Mid-Tennessee State, they have to bounce back, right, from that beating to Army. They're getting 3.5 at home. But they're playing Troy, and we know dumb boys from Troy, man. They love to play a little bit of football.
Yeah, Gunnar Watson is the quarterback for Troy this year. Mid-Tennessee State, obviously rolling out Asher O'Hara, who I told you 2 weeks ago was overrated as fuck, and turns out, but they have like 3 points. That team sucked.
Yeah, I have really good trends for this game. Maybe. The under is 7-1 in the last 8 meetings. Troy, 3-0-1 against the spread in the last 4 meetings at Middle Tennessee State. And the under has gone 4-0 the last 4 meetings between the two teams.
Yeah, I do lean the under. I think Troy covers. I don't think Middle Tennessee is going to bounce back. If I'm picking a side in this one, I'm taking Troy in the and laying the points. I'm telling you, I'm down on this Middle Tennessee State team. They brought in that Chase Cunningham kid because Asher O'Hara was so fucking bad in the first half. They ended up benching him. They lost 42-0 to Army. 42-0. Just fucking shut out. Just bad, bad team.
Bad, dude. Dude, what was the coach? There was some coaching. The quarterback was bad, but like you let the clock run out with 2 timeouts left. Didn't even get a fucking field goal before half. It's embarrassing.
It is. It is. I lean Troy. I lean the under. I lean Troy. I may add Troy Saturday. I feel no fucking way am I backing this Middle Tennessee State team, Middle Tennessee outcome team coming off that performance. All right, Joe, the other 4 o'clock game, your boys, the Citadel, on the road in Clemson against Clemson and Trevor Lawrence. Spread here, I'll tell you this, 45. Okay, Clemson favored by 45. The total Citadel. Is 57.5.
Citadel. The Citadel has a legit quarterback. I'm not saying Malcolm Perry legit quarterback. Like Malcolm Perry made it to the NFL, right? He was a fringe quarterback in college, right? Okay. I think the Citadel has a legit quarterback.
Brandon Rainey. Brandon Rainey is the quarterback for the
Citadel. Now, Clemson clearly showed us last week. They're going to go up 3-4 touchdowns, and they're going to call it a day. They want to stay healthy. They had dudes go down last week. What's his name? The fucking defensive coordinator's kid got hurt. listen, we've seen the Citadel versus number one teams in the country before play well first half, Dan.
Bama.
Clemson, though, is a fucking awesome first half team. I don't know, man. I kind of like the Citadel here.
I think you're on the right side. I can't. You know there think there's going to be some fucking backdoor shiesty shit, like they let them come back and cover, you know, in the backdoor.
It's like, a stay away. This is a stay away because we don't know what they're going to do. Clemson will do this week, right? They could be like, oh, we really let people down. Now we're going to win by 50. You know what I mean?
I lean the Citadel. I do. But, yeah, I agree. 6 o'clock, Joe. SMU travels to Denton to take on North Texas.
Oh, your boys. Whenever I hear North Texas, I think of Dan Lifshitz.
Okay. SMU. I had the week
SMU
one.
SMU has to play better than their last performance.
Yeah. Now,
two Texas, touchdowns.
Texas State is good. You need to score more. Now, North Texas last week, or was it 2 weeks ago? Apologies. Played Houston Baptist, I think. Is that right?
These guys can't rebound. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. Houston Baptist. And North Texas ended up scoring 57. Now, Baptist almost beat Texas Tech last week. So we know that Baptist ain't bad. SMU, who Shane Buechel on the road, was not that good. Now, North Texas went to the two-quarterback system last week. They split time between Austin Oon, the former Yankees prospect, and Jason Bean. I thought Bean was the better of the two guys. I think he should be the starter going forward, but they're going to continue with the split right now. SMU, in my opinion, 14-point favorites, okay? Opened at 14.5. The total in this one's 68-69. You know SMU is going to get some points. Like they're going to get some points. This defense is not good for North Texas. I'm going to say, Joe, SMU rebounds and covers in a big way this week. I'm gonna say that.
Ooh, I am too ready.
No, too much of a pussy to do that. But I do like them, and I do think that they are going to recover and win this game and cover. By so
I agree. By I agree with you. Sports. I think that 14 points, SMU versus North Texas is a reasonable line for them to cover. I opened at 14.5, so remember that. They're like, all right, we're gonna see if they can win by more than 14. You know what I mean? So it's on 14. It's moved to half a point. SMU should win this game by double digits. Now, two touchdowns. That's the question. Plus, they're on the road, and it's a 6 o'clock game. Whatever. I agree with you. I'm circling this one for the weekend. I want to know what the line is on Saturday. And then, depending on how we do in our early bets, I might dabble on SMU and ride the horse.
You would expect Sonny Dykes and his team to bounce back. Maybe the over. I mean, there is legitimate concern for SMU's offense, so that should scare you away from the over. But I'd say at the same time that North Texas defense was a sieve against Houston Baptist and Bailey Zappa, who again really good last week against Texas Tech. They almost won.
Fucking Kelly Olynyk, dickhead. Yeah. Louisiana Tech, Southern Miss. Southern Miss has fired their coach, Frank Gore Jr. Obviously, we know about that. They're favorite again against a La Tech team that's yet to play this year, but they lost their quarterback that the Patriots had for a little bit. Dude, La Tech was a fucking wagon last year. So I don't know what they're returning. I don't know what they're returning. But I did not like Miss game.
Okay, so I actually have a little bit of info on the Southern Miss game. Apparently, it was well known that the coach was either resigning, leaving, etc. somehow before the game started. He knew he was going to be fired, leaving, whatever. I think that impacted everything. I think that had a massive impact on the game. I think it impacted the players. I don't think they were up for that game. I don't think they were the more physical of the two teams, Southern Alabama was, and I think they said, fuck this, and gave it up. I expect new coach to be rallied around that. You always get the new coach boost, Joe. It's always a new thing, right? You always get the new coach boost in season. I expect Southern Miss to come out. Louisiana Tech, new quarterback. They're going with the two-quarterback system. Apparently rolling with Luke Anthony and Aaron Allen, or maybe they're not naming one. It's very confusing what's going on there. I will still say Jack Abraham was still nails against Southern Alabama last week. I'm going to play a little bit of opposite here. I'm going to take the other side of this one, Joe. I think everyone and their mother is going to be on Law Tech because the Law Tech side is the side that you should be on. Give me Southern Miss and the 5.5 PP. Give me Southern Miss. I am locking this fucking thing up. I'm telling you, I think that affected them massively. Louisiana Tech, new quarterback, has to run an entirely new offensive system.
Yep.
Give me Southern Miss.
So I like your angle on this one. I see USM and I'm like, fuck them, right? Because opening night, coach, you know, I wasn't impressed. And maybe it was more of a Southern Alabama thing, right? Maybe they were just better than we thought. La Tech was really good last year. Really good. I'm going to look at this one too, Dan, because there's a reason why USM was -4 and now it's 5.5. There's a reason.
Opened at 3.5, by the way.
I look at it and say, ooh, I'm fading USM. But you might be on the right side of things. Louisiana Tech rebuilding their whole program. Their star player leaves. They were good last year. They could run the football really well, man. Them and App State, dude, they went at it multiple times. They had to recruit well, right? I mean, I'm just assuming. I don't know. Maybe Southern Miss is better than we thought.
I'm giving Frank Gore Jr. another go around, and I'm taking Jack Abraham, who has been very good to us in the past couple of years, and I'm rolling with USM. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong on it, but I like the coach angle, the bounce back there, the quarterback. I know is a known commodity. They're not changing their offensive scheme. I like it. We got to hurry up here because we're already at 7:30. Jesus.
Yeah. I have nothing on ULM Texas State, but the line is low.
Yeah, Texas State. We don't know who's starting their either Tyler Vitt or if it's going to be the other starter, Brady McBride, who was the week one starter, who played very well. We don't know. I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing to play here outside of Texas State, and you can't do that because we don't know who's starting at quarterback. Stay away.
Okay. PP. 7:30 national television, Louisville, Miami, Derek King, quarterback at Miami, Malik Cunningham, quarterback at Louisville. Last year, Miami defeated Louisville. They beat them in a rout last year. PP, Louisville at home on national television at home, minus the 2.5. They're going to slow down Cameron Harris, and Malik Cunningham will be the better quarterback. Miami will get a lot of love with De'Ara King from last week. Give me Louisville at home, playing off a rivalry game. I know Miami beat UAB, but give me Louisville at home, -2.5. Bell, thank you.
Yeah, I got you the bell. This is going to be scary, Joe. The whole world's going to be on Louisville. I feel like
it's the other way around.
Miami
destroyed Louisville last year. Destroyed them.
Okay, I do think, and I agree that Louisville's the side. I just know this is going to be a public Joe and Dan play. Oh. Absolutely. Right now, 72% of the bet and 70% of the money early on Louisville. So hopefully that evens out. But the other thing I'm worried about is how good does the ACC want Miami to be this year?
Any year, the COVID year is the perfect year with Derek King.
Yep. Right. Yep. So how good do you want them to be with a real quarterback? Oh my God.
I'll say is Louisville slipped a little bit second half. And I said that they kind of gave Western Kentucky like a feel bad touchdowns.
Dude, they did. By the way, you don't want to watch what Duncan Robinson is doing right now.
Yeah, no. Hey, you know what I heard today on the Twitter section was Duncan Robinson stinks.
Oh yeah.
And Felger tried to defend it.
Tried to defend that.
Felger was like, dude, he's going to go off for 30 points and he's going to shut you. Like, Duncan Robinson's not a great defender or anything like that. He's the best sharpshooters in the league.
Not a good defender. Not a good defender.
Yeah, but okay. I mean, the kid, he's not really even a Division I prospect. You know what I mean?
Like, I know. But he can shoot from anywhere on the court, man.
Anywhere.
All right, 8 o'clock, Wake Forest, NC State. Wake Forest obviously covered last week against Clemson. Sam Hartman is going to be the quarterback again.
Well, he got concussed later on in the game, I think.
He did, but it sounds like Sam Hartman is going to start. So that's the rumor on the street as far as now. NC State is starting Devin Leary, returner. So he's going to have some familiarity with the system. Okay, Joe? So there's going to be, you know, a little bit of continuity there. If total's 53, I'm going to tell you right now, this is a stay the fuck away game. I have no idea what to expect out of this NC State team. They were terrible last year. Terrible. And I don't feel great about, you know, where they are. Wake Forest, I feel the same. How do you feel about this Wake Forest team? Do you expect them to be good? Because I don't. I think this is a stay away game until we learn more about NC State, in my opinion.
I learned nothing really from Wake Forest last week. I guess their run D was okay. They got lit up over the middle of the field. Hartman's a hard player, like tough kid. I don't know. I feel like NC State, I just feel like Wake Forest playing Clemson, coming off that, going on the road is a tough spot for them, but the line's the line for the reason, and it went from 3-2. Hate these games at night. I'm not even going to focus.
I'm telling you, this is a stay away game. The final game of the slate, because Charlotte, North Carolina has been canceled for COVID reasons. The final game of the slate is Abilene Christian and UTEP.
Yeah.
I'll give you the spread. UTEP is a 4-point favorite, and the total is 51. Is it 51? No, 54 now. If you want something, just take Abilene Christian for the money line, just to root against UTEP. Honestly, I mean, I think UTEP is detestable. I don't like it. I don't like watching them. So that's my handicap of the game. I looked literally zero into this, and I'm not looking into that game. And obviously, we lost Virginia Tech this week. That is delayed to December.
Yeah, that one's going to happen later on too. And I liked Virginia Tech in that game too.
Okay, Joe. Week one of the NFL.
Which All right, we're done with college. I think we gave our PPs. I think it was might have been three or four there for us. So
I think we had four. Maybe three or four.
We usually blow through the NFL just because it's just easier to identify. So yeah, we got our Thursday night game out of the way, and we'll hit the 1 o'clock. What do you got? Because I got some trends. What do you got for me?
Okay, 1 o'clock. Let's start with the Giants and Bears. Okay, Bears open as 5.5-point favorites at home. Total in this one is 42. Now, if you listened to the podcast last week, you know, I would have told you, I liked the Giants last week. I really thought that they were going to find a way to cover against that defense. And early on, it looked good. Danny Dimes was playing well. They got, you know, they were getting to Darius Slayton a lot. That defense looked good. The whole team looked good. Well, they fell apart. Obviously, Danny Dimes threw a terrible interception in the end zone. Didn't cover. To me, Bears with a lucky-ass win in Detroit. I mean, let's call it out is. They got very lucky. This is a potential rebound spot for the Giants, Joe. 5.5, a lot of points to lay at home to a team that is probably essentially the same as you. There's no real home field advantage anymore. I know everyone loves the under in this one. Open at 43, down to 42. By the way, we're going to about get a 60-point quarter in the first quarter here. Not great for the
under. Socks.
Yeah, not great for the under, so that's not good. But Marcus Smart is draining everything too. But I don't feel great about this game at all. Not even a little bit. So,
Okay, real quick, I liked what Chicago did. 21-point fourth quarter. It's great. The Giants look effective on offense overall. Chicago should not be 5.5 points. It's a team coming off a win, team coming off a loss. That's 5.5. I had a trend on this. I got to look it up real quick. But quickly, Dan, I didn't want to lean the Giants this week, but I felt it at times that maybe that was something to look into. I'm just trying to pull up the trend real quick that I had on. If not, we can get back to it. But yeah, that was one of the games that I had this week circled. That I thought I had something. All right, I don't have it, so we can move on. I'm trying.
Yeah, if you get it, we'll just go back to it. Okay, let's move on. I got to tell
you. Sorry. It was the total has gone under in 9 of Chicago's last 11 games at home. And the Giants are very good against the spread on the road in their last 15 games. Chicago is 1-6 against the spread in their last 7 games as a favorite, Dan.
Makes sense. I mean, Mitch Trubisky is a favorite, probably is not bright. I would, if you're asking me, if gun to my head, I'd take the Giants. I have no interest.
Me too.
All right. Falcons Cowboys. This game is just, this is another game. I do. Wow. Cowboys now 4.5 point favorites, 4 point favorites, depending on where it is. Total sitting at 54. High fucking total in this one. Dallas loses Leighton Vander Esch to collarbone. He's out for the year. They lose their tight end. He's out for the year. The Falcons lose. They were terrible in the second half for Seattle last week. The Cowboys lose to the Rams outright. Two teams that really I thought were the better of the two teams really didn't play well. Not great. I'll tell you, the whole world's going to be on this over. Dallas opened at 7-point favorites. It's down to 4.5, Joe. What do you like here?
Falcons allow too many points on defense. They will score with any team in the league. Dan Quinn, just as a coach, their teams, it's worth fading him. 45 and 36 teams are against the spread. That's not good for him. The Cowboys are still the number one, well, one of the top offenses in the league, 6.5 points per play. And, you know, you look at what the Cowboys defense did last week. I thought they played pretty well against the Rams, considering, you know, the final score there and what happened at the
Except
end.
Except for Malcolm Brown, who decided to run all over. That was fucking weird.
Yeah. I lean the Cowboys here, but I don't like it. It's not a pick. I'm not PPing it, but I took the Cowboys in my pool.
Okay. Yeah, I lean Dallas too, but I want nothing to do with it. All right, 1 o'clock game, Joe. The Cleve Blakeman game of the week. The Lions and the Packers. This one is relatively straightforward. Lions are 6-point favorites on the road to a divisional opponent. Usually probably a little bit too much, in my opinion. Usually it's probably too much, at least in my opinion. But I think the play on this one is not a side. I think it's the total. Last week, Minnesota-Green Bay was a banger for us. It was a big one. Over 45. Well, this week, we're going to go opposite. Green Bay under 49.5 in the Packers and Lions. Look, Packers and Lions are defensive divisional foes. This should be a little bit tighter than it was last week. Now, I know you're going to say, but Dan, the Packers play with the Vikings in the division and the Lions play with the Bears in the division. I get that. Nonetheless, I think after last week, you're going to be able to actually take advantage of the offenses, in my opinion, because Green Bay's offense in the second half, despite scoring a lot of points, wasn't as good as it could have been. A lot of turnovers by Minnesota, a lot of bad play. And the Lions didn't even deserve to be in that game, in my opinion. I thought both the Bears and the Lions, neither of them deserved that win. They both sucked. So
I think drop a bad pass. I'll give Detroit that on that one. He dropped that.
Yes. Okay.
So but they shouldn't give up 21 points in the fourth quarter.
To Mitch Trubisky. Yep. At home. Like, you know, if you do that, you deserve to lose. So I think both the Lions and the Bears deserved to lose last week. Matt Patricia's probably coaching for his job.
Oh, yeah, and there's odds on that we can do next week.
Okay, Patricia's probably maybe we can do him Saturday. Yeah. Patricia's probably coaching for his job.
There you go. Ace and Patricia, number one and two. Boom.
This is it. Like, if he has a no-show against the Packers, oh, man, I worry for his job security. His defense, if his defense cares about him at all, I'm banking on the defense caring about him, which is probably stupid, but I like the under. I like it a lot.
Let me just throw some. I was going to say, I want to give you some monumental trends here.
Okay. Yeah, babe.
In 29 seasons, the Lions have won just 3 times in Green Bay. So Green Bay is 26-3 straight up at home versus Detroit in their history.
Not to mention, this is the Cleve Blakeman game.
Yep.
Cleve Blakeman is the dog and the under.
Detroit is 0-11 straight up the past 11 games as an underdog here. But, Dan, they're 6-0 against the spread in the last 6 games versus Green Bay. And the total has gone under in 9 of Green Bay's last 11 games against divisional opponents.
Lovely. I'm taking the Cleve Blakeman angle. I'm taking the divisional rebound angle here. I'm going the under in these two teams. I'm going under 49.5. It is my favorite play of the week by far.
Can these guys just stop shooting threes? Thank you. Hey, whoa! Enes Kanter! Whoa! I haven't seen him in a while.
That he's actually been playing. That's all Miami does, I'm telling you.
You know what I was thinking about this the other night? I know we're way off track. He might have been a guy late in the game I go to go in the post to. He sucks defensively, but he'll get you a basket.
Offensively, he probably should be in the game at the end of the game. Yeah. Instead of Tice, especially. But defensively, the problem is that it can't be with too much time. It's got to be a timeout situation because you don't want him playing defense because they'll go at him.
Are you doing Titans-Jags here?
Yeah, let's do Titans-Jags.
What's the line right now that you see?
Tennessee is a 7.5-point favorite. It opened at 11.
I see nine. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely bouncing. Yeah, I have 7.5 on Ace PPH right here. It's bouncing. By the way, Boston's taking a 7-point lead early on.
Kemba with another three? Or is that one I want to make him cheer?
I honestly did not see it. I believe it's Kemba. So, no, it's Wanamaker.
Enes Kanter dying on the court or something? Sorry.
It's okay. So, anyways, the Titans open as 11-point favorites, and now the Jags are down to 7.5.
I got one thing to throw out here.
Okay.
The line opened up as Jacksonville is a double-digit dog. So, the Jaguars have lost 7 in a row against the spread. Sorry, 7 in a row as double-digit road dogs, 1-5-1 against the spread. The Titans have been double-digit home chalk 3 times. They failed to cover all 3. Jacksonville, 2-10 straight up in their last 12 games at Tennessee.
I really want to take Tennessee here. Like, I really want to play it. I'm not going to. Because this divisional game and Minshew looked good week one, and the Jaguars, for whatever reason, seem to want to win football games. But I just, this line has Titans or nothing. The total, by the way, is at, opened at 43. It's at 44 over. This is an overplay, in my opinion. I think that that 43 number gives it away, in my opinion. So, all right. Vikings, Colts, Joe, weird game. Both teams lost last week. Both teams badly need a win this week. The Colts are 3-point favorites at home against Minnesota. Mini getting 78% of the bet early on. And the sharps are on the other side saying we want Indy. Total in this one is up to 48.5, open at 46. What do you got on this one, Joe?
Oh, a lot of negativity on the Vikings, right? Against Green Bay last week. The Vikings don't win in Indianapolis and usually don't cover as underdogs either. That's kind of the trend with them. The Vikings have lost 6 in a row straight up at Indianapolis. They're 2-9 straight up and 3-8 against the spread in their last 11 games just as an underdog in general. So whenever the Minnesota is an underdog, it's for a reason. So everything to me favors Indianapolis here. And it leans the under to me at 47.5.
We'll say it's a 1 o'clock game, so Kirk Cousins is probably going to be very good because that's like his shit. He loves playing in the 1 o'clock windows. He's very good. But I just like, I don't know. I want neither side of this game because it feels like both these.
I want Minnesota to win and cover. It's just that I'm not putting my money on that team going on the road and winning.
And I do think that the Colts defensively have gotten better up front, obviously stopping the run. And if you take away Thielen, you're really leaving Cousins with rookies and kind of leftovers left. So I'm just gonna say. I do think the Colts line up decently well against them. My opinion. I want neither side of that one. I want nothing to do with that game. All right, Joe, another 1 o'clock game. AFC game. Bills travel to Miami Gardens. Take on the Dolphins. The Dolphins are 6-point dogs. Total in this one is 41. What do you got, Joe?
You ready for this?
Yep.
The Bills have been road chalk of 5.5 points or more just twice in the last 12 seasons. Last year, they won at Miami 37-20 when they were 7-point favorites. So the total has gone under in 15 of Buffalo's last 21 games. They've gone over in 8 of the Buffalo's last 10 games against Miami, and they've gone under in 16 of Buffalo's last 21 on the road. So the under favors on the road. They've only been in this situation twice in the last 12 years, and they did it last year. I like Buffalo this week, -5.5.
Okay, I am going to be the exact opposite. I think Buffalo, as I told you, I don't think they're that good. They played probably maybe the worst team in the NFL last week. I mean, God, that was – what a terrible fucking performance by the Jets. This smells like an upset. Smells like an upset, has the makings of an upset. The ticket count right now, according to some people in Vegas, is right now 99% on Buffalo. 99%. The line has moved a little bit. Now, it did open at 3.5. They're up to 6. I'm just telling you, not a fucking prayer am I back in Buffalo in Miami. Nope, not doing it. Divisional game. Brian Flores and his team did not look ready. I expect he'll be much more ready for this game.
Well, I thought the Patriots was brutal last week. I really did. And maybe you tip your cap to the Patriots. But I thought Fitzpatrick was so bad. And they still should have covered at the end of the game.
Agreed. And the Jets' defense was horrendous. And Josh Allen turned the ball over twice. Like, no one's talking about the fact that Josh Allen had 2 fumbles in that game. No one. I know he was good last week, but for the love of God, I'm out on Buffalo. I'm not going to PP it, but fucking give me the Dolphins. Give me the over. This is going over. I know. Going over on everything.
I know, but you right, know, Dan, when you talk about
the Bills, other,
it's hard for me to, when you talk about the Bills, I can't really, you know, it's like you're one of those teams, you know, like you just hate the Bills. Like, it's hard for me to.
You know, you're going to see it. I'm telling you, that team is overrated. Oh. You're going to end up seeing it.
Do you know what one thing I wanted to mention here? Because we talked about 2 of the games real quick. Since 06, teams that lost straight up as favorites of 6 or higher in week 1, they're 7-4-1 in week 2. But on the flip side, teams that won straight up as dogs of +6 or higher in week 1 are 8-2-2. So the teams to watch this week who bounce back are Indianapolis and Jacksonville are 2 of the teams. The 2 others to watch are Arizona and San Fran, which we'll get into in a little bit here.
Okay. San Fran versus the Jets, 1:00. San Fran's a 7-point favorite on the road.
So I'm going San Fran -7. I'll PP it if you'd like.
Okay, go ahead. Feel free. You want to PP it?
Now look. Yeah, but Joe, they're going to go West Coast to East Coast. Blah, blah. The 49ers are going to run down their throat this week.
This is a game like you feel like everyone's going to want to be on the Jets, but like they're going to suck.
They're going to run down their throat. They're gonna Raheem Mostert only got 56 yards last week. They got to get back to their running game. I heard George Kittle still a little banged up. We'll see, but they're gonna establish their running game, and it's gonna open up play action for Jimmy Garoppolo.
I agree. I know it's square. I know it's the wrong side probably, but I'm going with that. And I'm going under. I'm going under this game. I expect Jimmy G and Darnold to be themselves. Jimmy G should be okay at least, but Darnold sucks.
This next game is important, and I know the total's 41.5 in that 49ers-Jets game. It's 49ers or nothing for me. I'm not backing the Jets in that spot.
I agree. So PP 49ers for Joe Murray. Yep.
Rams-Eagles. I need to get your input on Rams-Eagles. Who would you place as the favorite? I've gone back and forth on this one. I actually want to watch this game. LA, you might say they got a surprise win, and the Eagles definitely had a shocking loss. Like, there's no doubt about that. The Eagles, though, Dan, have historically crushed the Rams. Like they if you look back in their history, they've done very well. But Philly as a home dog, dude, 3-11 against the spread, the last 14 as home underdogs.
Yep. PP Eagles. +1. Give me the points of the Eagles. Listen, Eagles money line, whatever.
Eagles have owned the Rams. I just want to throw that out there. 12-1-1 against the spread last 14 games. They've won 6 straight at home over the Rams.
I just think that the Eagles are the better team. I know the Rams got a win. I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, Joe. I didn't think the Rams deserved the win on Sunday. I thought that they got lucky, that Jalen Ramsey got lucky with that OPI call. I didn't think that was OPI. You have to fully extend. You have to extend your arm. In my opinion, he's hand fighting and moving his hand away. That's not to me OPI. If you think it is, okay, bully for you. We disagree. I'm going to take
Ramsey sold it. That's what it was.
Yeah, exactly. So to me,
a good corner selling a fucking play,
especially that late in the game. You don't know that.
Knicks are fucking up big on Miami right now.
They are, but again, how many times have we seen this fucking
story? Dude, the Celtics might drop 70 first half on them.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because you know they.
Well, it doesn't help our under.
I get it. I'm not freaking out yet. Let's see. But yeah, give me the Eagles. I'm telling you, the Rams. I do not think they deserve that W. I would take Dallas again in the same spot in the same play. I would do it again. I'm going with Philly this week. Fuck you. I'm taking the fuck you LA play again. Take it, Philly. Okay, 1 o'clock. Broncos Steelers. Steelers are now 7.5 point favorites at home. Opened as 5.5. The total now 40.5 after opening at 43. Joe, anything in this one? I want nothing to do with this game.
Yes. Pittsburgh. I got something. Hang on. I'm looking for it right here. I had something on it. Where was it? I got to keep better notes so we can.
All right, that's fine. I'll
this fucker up.
Okay. Benny Snell last week probably earned those.
Hey, he did pretty well, huh?
He earned the Steelers running back job, in my opinion. I doubt Connor is going to play, especially after he was banged up. He looked really, really, really good for the Steelers. And Noah Fant emerged as a true receiving option for the Denver Broncos last week, it felt like.
I don't know, man. I like Pittsburgh's defense. Bud Dupree was really good. Broncos 4-1 against the spread the last five meetings overall.
Yep. So the only game where the spread mattered all week last week was the Tennessee-Denver game. You knew it was going to happen at some point. No other spread mattered. You're just picking a winner. The spread finally mattered in the Monday night game. I'm going to be a little surprised here. I'm going to take Denver on the money line. Now, I'm not PPing it, but I just think that – excuse me. I think that, we're going to see a Steelers team that, in my opinion, do they look that good? Did they look that good?
Juju Smith-Schuster looked really good.
Yeah, he did.
So I'm going to try to like pick it and stick it with this game. I think the Broncos getting 7.5 is a good look.
I think the Broncos went outright. Honestly, I do. I think that Drew Lock and the Broncos probably should have won the Monday night game against Tennessee. The Steelers definitely deserve the victory. No doubt about it.
Broncos coach made terrible decisions down the stretch too, though.
I know. Fangio's not the best. I'm rolling Broncos money line. I think the Steelers are getting being overlooked here. 7.5 at home to the Broncos. Jesus. Okay.
All right, Dan.
I'm telling you, spread doesn't matter. 1 o'clock. Panthers Bucks. Joe, no, your boy. No. Tom Brady looked like dog shit last week. Told you. Bruce Arians, first year of Bruce Arians system. I told you, Joe, they suck. I'm going to find the stats. Tom Brady looked horrible. Now, he's the greatest player of all time, in my opinion. He's going to turn it around. Nonetheless, most turnover-worthy plays in a single season since 2006. 2012. Andrew Luck with 40. Carson Palmer, 2013, with 40. Jameis Winston, 2019, with 40. All in their first season of Bruce Arians. Sunday, Tom Brady had 2. Not like him. Not at all. So, what do we do here, Joe? I'm going to tell you, I'm a little worried for this offense going forward. Gronk looks done. He did not look good. I'm hoping he rejuvenates because I'm a big Gronk fan. I'm rooting for the Bucks. I want them to win this week, Joe. I do. I love Tom Brady. I want them to win. How do you feel?
I thought Teddy Bridgewater was legitimately like how Cam Newton was. He did everything last week. McCaffrey was good. He had 96 yards rushing, 2 touchdowns. You know, Robbie Anderson actually was pretty well as a receiver. Bucks. I think the Bucks bounce back and play very well against, like, Matt Rhule is going to, like, fucking first time coach against Brady. I think they win by double digits.
Okay. I'm going to take the Panthers. I don't think that
Man, that Kemba step back, man, is back, huh?
It's finally some muscle memory. He looks better today. It makes me feel better.
He's shooting on Bam Adebayo right in his face.
Yep. Oh, yeah, that's a nice defensive play. I know it's a little ahead of you. Sorry.
That's all good. All right. Yeah. So I like the Bucks in this spot. Now, here's an interesting spot, because as we get into the 4 o'clock games, Dan, and we're almost done, Washington Cardinals. I mentioned that trend about teams that cover the week before, how they play the next week. Arizona is in that spot where they cover as a dog and win as a favorite the next week. They've done that. I'm going to do that as well this week. I'm going to take, and I'm going to PP this, give me the Arizona Cardinals. And it's based off a trend in this spot. I had another trend in this spot too that I had for you. But yeah, I'm PPing this one. And it's just for the simple fact that, you know, in this spot, again, I'm going to say this, I like Arizona this year. I think they're very good. The surprise one winner, right? I mean, you can say both Arizona and Washington were surprise winners in week one. The Cardinals dominated, though. Like, they did well. The total goes under in 9 of Arizona's last 11 games playing early in the season. The only thing I will tell you is this. Washington in their last 12 games against Arizona is 10-2 straight up.
Okay. I just want to go back to the Bucks game quickly. I want to say I'm taking the Panthers and outright, by the way. Taking the points and outright. I think they win that game. The Cardinals game is going to be interesting. Two teams that probably overachieved week one. I almost feel better about taking Washington than I do about taking Arizona. I do. I know that sounds kind of crazy, but I don't know. Kyler Murray's not going to have 91 yards on the ground again. Like, it just, that's not going to, DeAndre Hopkins is not going to have 14 fucking receptions. You know what I mean? Like, those are going to have to go back. And if you think that that's going to happen every week, it's not. And I just, you can't not possibly expect that. The Celtics are playing ridiculously well right now, just out of their minds well. I'm going to go with Washington the points, but I don't feel good about it at all. Not even a little bit.
Yeah. The Celtics haven't missed a shot in a while here. All right. Chiefs Chargers. I'll give you another PP. Why not? Chiefs -8.5 PP. And I have more trends if you want them regarding Kansas City, but
Joe, you are loving the squares today. 97% of the bet and 99% of the money on Kansas City.
Kansas City's 15-1 straight up against their last 16 against the AFC West. They dominate the AFC West. They're 11-1 against spread in the last 12 games overall. The Chargers showed me nothing last week. Nothing. So I'm gonna ride the Chiefs as a square until they lose. Okay.
PP. Chiefs, I gotta tell you, Joe, I hate that fucking play, dude. I hate it. You just can't have all these good teams win every week. You know what I mean? I can't do it. I'm not backing it. Something is gonna happen in LA, and they're not gonna win. But I feel like the spread might actually matter this week. I don't know. I can't do it. I cannot do it. Chiefs open as 6.5-point favorites now. I'm saying that. All right, 425, another square fucking play. Baltimore on the road at Houston. Baltimore 7-point favorites. The total in this one is at 50 now. Opened at 53.5, down to 50. Joe, I want Baltimore. I do.
I'm taking it. In my pool, I took the Texans plus the 7.5.
Yeah, I want Baltimore. I'm telling you, 4 o'clock, I feel like one of the one of the Kansas City Miami teams is going to go down. Either Ravens or the Chiefs, I feel like, are going to lose. I feel like it's going to happen. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the books have a fucking, just get absolutely wrecked at 4:30. I just have a feeling one of those two teams is going to lose and lose outright. I don't know which one it is. I assume it's going to be the Chiefs just because the whole world's on them. Baltimore has a little less of the world on them. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't feel good about it at all, Joe. At all.
Yeah, going Texas 7.5 there, and I hate every little bit of it.
Yeah, I understand. All right, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock Sunday night. The New England Patriots and Cam Newton travel to Seattle. They take on Russell Wilson. What do you like here, Joe? Do you think the Patriots win on the road? I know that all the Patriots players are all the Patriots haters are saying no chance. No chance they win this week. Russell Wilson had a great week last week. No chance. Do you think that there is a chance that they win this week?
There's a chance. Cam Newton hasn't fared well against Seattle's defense in his career. Patriots going to have to find other ways to score, and I didn't see that last week. But these are the games where everyone doubts the Patriots and they win, right? I don't want to throw the emotional factor of Bill Belichick's mother into the mix either.
From a gambling perspective,
yeah,
it's an angle that people play.
I know. I don't like it, Dan. I don't like the Patriots this week. I just don't. I need to see them have more options. Like, Cam Newton was the best player on the field. Can he do that week in and week out and against, like, this type of defense?
This type of defense is not a good type of defense.
They held the Falcons down to score on everybody, you know? They put up 30. Carson was good. Like, Russell Wilson was good last week, you know?
Yeah. Listen, I think Carson's good. I think that he's going to be good. I just – what are you expecting, by the way? The half ends with 107, so not terrible.
Dan. What do you think? 103 second half?
I'd say probably 104.
Would you go under?
I wouldn't touch it.
You just got to let it ride, baby?
Yeah, I think the Celtics are going to win this game now. I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to take the Patriots. Okay, I'm not peeping it, but take the Patriots. Wilson and his team were fantastic last week, right? They were so good. They haven't been that way every week in, week out. They just haven't. And they always struggle at the beginning of the season. And not the first game, but the second game. They're at home, first game, no fans there. So, you know, your usual jolt that you get is gone. I don't know. Cam Newton, to me, Joe, they came out of the third quarter firing. Looked pretty fucking good to me. Looks like they could throw a little bit. N'Keal Harry doesn't fumble through the end zone. That game is 28-3, and it's over. So I think if Nick Folk doesn't miss a field goal, it's 31-3. You know, we're talking about a totally different ball game. So
102, Dan.
102. Okay.
That's just to get over the total.
So that is, I feel like they want people to play the over there. That definitely feels like an overplay. It definitely feels like an underplay. I'm not touching it. I'm leaving it alone. Leaving it. But what I can tell you is I do think that do you think that Seattle is going to be worse than we expect? I don't think they're gonna be as good. I think Cam Newton is going to be really, really good up there. I really like what I saw from him week one. I'm expecting very similar things from him this week. Going to take the Patriots. I'm going to be a bit of a homer. Take the Patriots. So, all right, Joe. Final game. Saints Raiders. Saints on the road in Vegas. Opening stadium game. That's a big thing. Opening stadium game on the road. No Michael Thomas. The Saints are -6 coming off a game against the Bucs, who I felt like the Bucs were never in the game, and I didn't think Drew Brees and the Saints looked very good. I just felt like the Bucs were so bad that they were never in the game.
All right, Dan, you ready? Yep. Vegas is 5-1 against the spread their last 6 Monday night football games. New Orleans, 1-7 against the spread their last 8 week 2 games. I faded New Orleans last week because they struggle week one and week two against the spread. Gonna go with it again. I'm not betting it. I'll probably bet it the night of. Give me the Vegas +6.
Okay, I agree with you. I agree there. I like Vegas +6 as well. And I might end up betting that Monday night. I think that they are the right side. You lose your wide receiver. You didn't look that great week one, in my personal opinion. And now you're going on the road. Opening stadium game for the Raiders. Opening stadium. You know, you want Vegas to be a destination. Probably need the Raiders to win here. Just saying. We'll see what happens. But I think it's very possible that the Raiders go on the road, win at home. I mean, the Saints go on the road and lose that fucking game. So, all right, Joe, that's it.
Yeah, and that's it. We made it to halftime, dude. So we get to enjoy the rest of the game here tonight. I gave out a lot of NFL stuff tonight. I'll have Saturday. So we have a show Saturday, and then next week we go 2 hours. I think. Well, that 2 hours, Dan, will be able to really like digest some plays and maybe give a little bit more PP. Like, I know we're doing podcast plays, but I think during the show, especially closer to the games and the lines and stuff like that, and the injury reports, I think we'll be able to do a little bit more with people tuning in and calling in as well. So I appreciate everybody who people, dude, you know what was cool? People were hanging out with us tonight and watching the game and listening to us. So that's cool. That's why we wanted to do these live. Yep. All right.
We appreciate it. Good.
I need food. I'm fucking starving. I might get buffalo tenders. What do you think?
Oh,
blue cheese?
Like if I could have those, I'd probably go with you, but I can't.
If you could. All right. He is Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. This has been another edition of the Over Under 985 podcast.
Who you got? See you guys Saturday.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.